Everybody, Boker Tov. Get a chance to practice my Hebrew since we still have the sukkah up. Everybody, try to say Boker Tov. Very good, Tov Me'od. All right. Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, or if you have a Bible app, look with me in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. And the title for my message this morning is, Are You Feeling Under It? Are you feeling under it? You know, all of us, we get under it sometimes, yeah? You know, sometimes we feel like we're under the weather. Sometimes we feel like we're under the thumb. Sometimes maybe we've been under the influence. You don't have to raise your hand. That's right. Which one? That's right. Most of us would like to be under 30. And one might even find himself under a tree, which is where we find Elijah this morning. So let's look at this together. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 4. But he himself, that is Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under, everybody say under, under a juniper tree. Now, what's a juniper? Have you ever seen a juniper tree? Sometimes your Bible might say a broom tree. That doesn't mean it looked like a broom. But it's a broad-leaved tree that gives a lot of shade. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it's enough. I've had it. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. Sounds like my mother. Eat. Eat. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And let's see. Yeah, can I read that from here? Somebody help me. And he looked, and there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. Now, what's going on in this passage? Well, if you read the preceding chapter, chapter 18, you realize that things were really going great for Elijah. He had a great day. I mean, he had this, like, he duked it out with the prophets of Baal. How many of them were there? 450 prophets of Baal. He had this big contest with them. He said, okay, we're going to build an altar, and we're going to, like, you know, and we're going to call down. We're going to ask, you ask your God to call down fire, and I'll ask my God to call down fire, and we'll see which one is the real God. So the prophets of Baal, you know, they're like dancing around the altar, and they're, come on, Baal, hallelujah, Baal, sock it to him, Baal, and they're cutting themselves, and they're doing it all day long, and nothing's happening. Nothing. So Elijah goes, okay, my turn. Stands up, says a short prayer, you know, something like, you know, come Holy Spirit. And what happens? That's right, the fire falls. And by the way, he poured water on the altar. How many times? Three times, pours water on it, calls on God, says, okay, God, show up. God shows up, fire comes down, burns up the altar, all the whole thing, and the people of Israel do what? They repent, and revival breaks out. Now, you know, that's a good day. But the next day wasn't such a good day. What happened the next day? Who was Ahab's wife? Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel, she wasn't very happy, was she? So she issues a warrant for his arrest, dead or alive. And Elijah, he went from here to here. Did you ever go from here to here? He went, one day he went all the way up here, all the way down here. And what does he do? He runs for his life. And he runs into the wilderness. And there he finds himself literally feeling under it. And he finds himself under this broom tree, this juniper tree. Now, if you're anything like me, you probably have been under it at one time or another in your life. We've all heard the phrase, when it rains, it pours. You know, when multiple curveballs get thrown at us, one after the other, you know, and we realize that that's not the bumps in the road, it is the road, you know. And when that happens, like Elijah, we can feel really under it. That's right. Now, in the past few weeks, actually past couple months, ever since August 17th, we've seen and we've witnessed, unfortunately, in our own, just in the United States of America alone, one calamity, one crisis after another. Beginning August 17th, oh, by the way, there's Elijah under it. August 17th, we saw Hurricane Harvey and all the destruction that it did in Houston, Texas. Right after that, we saw Hurricane Irma, which hit Florida, and all the destruction it caused there and hardship for so many people. After that, we saw Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, and we've all seen images of what's taking place there and the horrific difficulty that people are going through. That wasn't enough. Right after that was the horrible shootings in Las Vegas, where, 59 people or so were, 58 were killed. Over 500 more people were injured, and who knows how many thousands of people were traumatized. And if that wasn't enough, fires in California. It's over 40 people now have died. Hundreds are missing. Over 100,000 people are displaced, and it still isn't over. It's still going on. So just it's kind of hard to imagine sometimes, and just the hardship of what so many people are going through right now as we speak. And just to give us a little bit of a little bit more empathy, just to get a feel for this current situation that's still going on. Watch this.
This was the line for people whose lives have been turned upside down by one day of fire in the Oakland Hills. Police took them a few at a time back to their old neighborhoods to see what had burned and what had not.
This is where Clarence lived.
Bill Pache and his friends came back to look for Bill's three cats. Polly Payne and her son Austin came to see the ashes of their four-bedroom, three-bath house.
We'd heard from lots of people that how bad it was. Don't come back. There's no rubble. There's nothing to sift through. But there is something to sift through, and for mementos.
It had a whole bunch of little cars in it and just melted.
And as some search for mementos, others searched for meaning. And Bill Pache's friends continued to look for his cats.
Sunday morning, we were listening to Brandenburg Concertos and eating French toast with sauce from that apricot tree on it. And by the afternoon, we couldn't believe it that this was really going to happen. We would have taken so much more if we'd had any concept.
I found the cat.
Where?
I don't know.
You found one?
It seems to have been okay.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God.
Found it.
Yeah, yes. He's smarter than he looks.
I can't believe it.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, thank you, God. Yeah, so people are just under it, suffering terribly. There's I don't have a picture of a woman named Michelle Flores. This is hard to believe. She was actually at the concert in Las Vegas during the shooting, but she was unharmed. She returns home to her home in California a couple of days later, and her house burns down. Yeah. So these are tragic situations of people that, by the thousands, are suffering significant hardships in their lives. And it can give us perspective for what we're going through, can it? I mean, probably every one of us, to some degree or another, is going through something in your life right now. And it may not be as hard as what some of those people are going through, but our hardships are real too. You know, some of us have ailing parents, our own ailments. How many of you notice that the older you get, the more ailments you have? Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, it's almost like a full-time job just to manage your ailments. You know, the challenges with our children. You know, I remember Randy said, you know, small children, small problems, big children, big problems. It's true. Financial problems, problems at work, loss of work. You know, I know Chris and I, for our family, for the last, over the last month or so, it's just been a string of stuff. I mean, just one thing after the other that's happened that's just made life challenging. It's easy to get under it. So here's the question. What did God do for Elijah when he was feeling under it? Well, let's find out. It says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Now, what's the actual translation of the word angel? Messenger, very good. So God sent an angel, a messenger, to minister to Elijah. And what did the angel messenger do? He made him homemade cookies and cake. Now, how many of you know, if you're not feeling good, somebody makes you homemade cookies and cake, you're going to start feeling a lot better. Right? Yeah, that's pretty good. So he got some homemade cookies and cake and gave him enough just to help him get up instead of give up. Now, sometimes God actually sends us an angel. I mean, a real angel. Anybody ever experienced a real angel? Some of you have. I never would have thought this could happen, but it actually happened to us. We were coming back from South Carolina, my family, and we were driving along 95. How many of you ever taken that stretch along 95? It's a long stretch. And we had on our car one of those big carriers. And as we're somewhere, I don't know what state, you know, we're just kind of driving along. All of a sudden, I heard this whoosh. And I look in my mirror, and my big carrier, the cable snapped, and I see the carrier fly off my roof. But then all of a sudden, it does something really weird. It makes a 90-degree turn. So instead of falling into the lane on the turnpike and causing a horrible tragedy, it fell onto the shoulder of the road. So I'm thinking, like, that's pretty cool. How did that happen? So I get out of the car, and the carrier opened up, and there's stuff strewn all over the shoulder. It's not on the turnpike. It's on the shoulder of the road. And so I bend down, and I start picking it up, and I hear a voice say, "Can I help you?" And I look up, and all of a sudden there's this man standing there who wasn't there before. And keep in mind, there's no McDonald's, there's no gas station, and there's nothing. And there's no car, yeah, nothing. And there's he's standing there. He goes, "Can I help you?" And I go, "Wow, well, I'm okay. Thank you, but I'm okay." So I bent down again, pick up stuff, look up. He's gone. He's gone. I'm like, where did he go? And so Kristen's like, there are kids and Kristen are in the car. I said, got back in the car. I said, "Kristen, did you see a man standing there? I'm wondering, am I hallucinating? I mean, did you see a man standing there?" What did you say?
Well, actually, I was out with you, too.
Oh, you were?
We were okay. Stuff.
Okay.
And we looked that way and that way because there was nothing.
There was nothing but just stretch of land. And we looked and looked and looked. I was like, where'd that guy go? Where'd he go? He wasn't there.
I think you were under the influence.
I was. I definitely was. So all of a sudden the Twilight Zone music went on, you know, like, oh my gosh, we just encountered an angel. And he I mean, I just think about this morning. I was overwhelmed in prayer. I thought, my God, God, thank you so much. I mean, people could have died. I mean, if that big carrier would have just, people, it would have caused accidents. People could have died. I thought, God, thank you. Thank you so much for your intervention. He's intervening right now. Somebody's under it. Lord, we just bless them, whatever's going on. Send your angels. Child abduction? Oh, my gosh, definitely send your angel. Yes, Lord. A child abduction? Wow. Lord, we do. We pray right now for this child that's been abducted. Lord, send your angel right now. Send an angel, Lord. Even as you did for us, do it again, we ask. Right now, Lord, send your angel. Rescue that child. Rescue the child. Minister to the parents, Lord, of this child. We ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, holy angels of God. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We believe you hear our prayer. You will intervene. You will intervene right now. Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's. Yes. Wow. You know, the book of Hebrews says that sometimes we entertain angels unaware. So sometimes God sends a divine angel. Sometimes he sends human angels or just messengers. Sometimes when we're under it, God in his love for you, he'll just send a messenger to you to encourage you. Maybe make you some cookies or some cake. Or just meet your need or pray with you in some way. You know, I'm so thankful for so many of you I know have been praying for my brother Stanford. And, you know, I've gotten emails and notes, and it's been such a blessing. And you've really, you know, been like an angel to me and us. And the good news, by the way, is that my brother is coming back tomorrow. And my angel, Randy and Linda Reinhardt, they're angels. They're actually, because our house isn't ready yet. It's kind of just going through some transformations because of make room for my brother when he moves in. So Linda and Randy, they're having my brother stay with them until our house is ready in their apartment. They're angels. So. So, what does God do when we're under it? He sends us an angel, a messenger, whether it's divine or human. It's what he does. He knows our need, and he meets our need. So what can you do? That's what God does, but what can you do when you're feeling under it? Well, the angel said to Elijah, don't give up, get up. Don't give up, get up, get up and eat. In other words, that's find it interesting that the angel who came to Elijah, he didn't coddle him and say, oh, you poor little prophet. Oh, you know, let me just give you a hug. How could that bad Jezebel do that to you? She's so nasty. And no, you know, he didn't do that. He just said, get up and eat. Eat. And, you know, he didn't let him wallow in his misery. You know, there's a great evangelist. He was actually a great pastor as well. Maybe you've heard of him. He's kind of like the Bill Johnson of a past century. His name was Charles Spurgeon. And he had a plaque in his bedroom, and with the words Isaiah 48:10 written on it, which says, "I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." So, reflecting on the trials and hardships that believers go through, this is what he wrote. Whoops, I was just there. Sorry. It is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace, In the furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. Yet here, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. C.S. Lewis said it this way. In the midst of trials and tribulations comes the burning question, why do the righteous suffer? Some answer with theology, others with platitudes. I say, why not? They're the only ones who can take it. Yeah. You know, doesn't Rabbi Paul, the Apostle Paul, say that we are more than overcomers through him who loves us? You know, he gives us the power not to give up, but to get up. So sometimes, you know, the angel comes, the Lord comes to us, and he says, you know what? You don't have to give up. I know you're under, I know you're feeling really crummy right now. I know all this stuff is happening in your life, one thing after the other, but guess what? I'm giving you the strength not to give up, but to get up. And here's some cookies, by the way. So, number one, what can we do when we're feeling under it? Don't give up, get up. Secondly, we can get alone with God. If you continue reading the passage, chapter 19, verse 9, the angel comes to him a second time, because after the first time, he was still depressed. He went back to sleep. You know, so the angel, the Lord, comes again, second time, says, get up, and you got to be strengthened to go where I want you to go. So Elijah begins this 40-day journey through the wilderness, and he goes where? To Mount Horeb, and he finds a cave to get alone with God. Sometimes we need to find our cave. Now, for a lot of you men, that's not too difficult. How many of you wives know you have husbands that have a cave? I got my cave. So, but maybe you ladies don't have a cave, so you need to find your cave. Now, here's the thing. When we're going through it, when we're under it, I don't know about you, my inclination is not necessarily to go to my cave, but it's to go to find a conference. Maybe the Global Awakening Conference, whatever, you know. Go Bill Johnson speaking, what's her name? Heidi Baker. Man, go to the conference. That's where the fire is going to be. That's where the earthquake's going to be. That's where the wind's going to blow. So find the conference. Well, let me say this, by the way. I am not against conferences. I love conferences, and I go to these conferences. However, Elijah didn't go to a conference. He went to a cave. Why? Because he knew that this time in his life, being under the way that he is, he needs to hear from God. He needs a quiet place to hear from God. He needs to hear that still, small voice. And what happened when he got to his cave? He was still looking for the signs and wonders and the big stuff and the dramatic stuff. You know, so this earthquake came, and then the wind came, and then the fire came. But what does it say? God wasn't in the earth, wind, and the fire. How many of you used to like earth, wind, and fire? Well, don't go there. Okay. But God wasn't in the earth. God was in the what? In the quiet breeze, where he heard the still, small voice. Sometimes we just need to find a cave, get alone with God, and listen and hear his still, small voice speak to our hearts. Third, we need to know that we're not alone. One of the things that Elijah was crying out to God about, he said, you know, only I am left. In other words, he thought he was the only prophet left. He thought he was the only guy, the only prophet that was remaining true to God. But what did the Lord say to him? He said, No, you're not, man. There's how many? There's 7,000 who haven't bent the knee to Baal. So Elijah, you're not alone. But you know what? When we're feeling under it, we can really feel alone, can't we? That's not a good feeling. So God tells Elijah he's not alone. So what does Elijah do? He says, what does it say? He found Elisha. So God said, you're not alone. Okay, thank you, God. I'm not alone. Okay, I need support. I need somebody. Do you ever need somebody? So he goes looking. Yeah, he didn't just say, okay, God, you know, okay, maybe somebody. No, he goes looking. And he finds Elisha. And Elisha becomes like his buddy, his partner. And they start doing stuff together. And Elisha was a great encouragement and a great support to him. So let me say this to you. If you're feeling under it and you're feeling all alone, there's an Elisha out there for you. Somebody named Elisha. Okay. Right, right. That's right. There's certainly one for Dwayne. But sometimes you need to act and maybe just, you know, okay, start looking. Okay, God, where is my Elisha? Because he or she is out there if you're looking. Finally, what do we do when we're feeling under it? Obey the voice of the Lord. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Go. Often the cure to feeling under it is to get over it by helping somebody else. Let me say that again. Often the cure to feeling under it is to get over it by helping somebody else. You know, perhaps you know somebody, even right now, somebody's coming to mind that you know is feeling under it. And the Lord just might tell you to go. Go and make a meal for them, cookies and cake. Go give them a word of encouragement, offer your time, whatever. And what happens when we do that? When we offer encouragement or supply a need to someone, we become what? God's angel. We become God's messenger. A couple of months ago, I was asked to reach out to someone. We'll call him George. His name isn't George, but we'll call him George. And so, you know, I agreed to do that, and we met a couple of times. And then, as I alluded to, our life started going crazy. Stuff started happening. And I didn't, after meeting a couple of times, I didn't, you know, because of what was going on, I didn't hear from him for a while. And I was tempted to, like, let it go. Because there's just so much going on in our life, I was just tempted to I haven't heard from George, so just kind of let him go. But the Lord said to me, Fred, go, don't give up, get up. So what did I do? So I emailed him, and I asked him if we could get together again. And here's what he said in response, and this is the actual email. He said, thanks for the concern, but I'm a lost cause. You should be using your time to help people who really need it. God just doesn't like me. I've prayed and asked forgiveness, and life has just gotten harder. It's just not working for me, and believe me, I've tried. So thanks, but I'm a waste of time. Oh my gosh. I mean, I read that and I thought, oh my, I mean, this guy, George, he is really under it. And I said, I just pray. I said, Lord, what can I do? What can I say? And I just stopped and prayed. And here's what I wrote. I said, you are absolutely not a waste of time. I know things have been hard for you, and you have not seen things change for the better. But I know they will if you hang in there. God is faithful, and he won't let you down. He really does love you more than you can imagine. There is a Bible passage that says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you take one step towards him, he will take 10 steps toward you. You just need to keep taking a step. Don't give in to despair. I would still love to get together with you if you are willing to take that step. And he emailed me back, and he said, I'm willing to take that step. So I'm praying for him, and I'm praying that he'll take that step, that he won't give up, but that he'll get up. And I'm believing that he will. So, in conclusion, what are you under this morning? Some of you, I would bet, or right now, you're feeling under it for whatever reason. If you're feeling under it, here's my encouragement. Trust God that he will send you his angel, his messenger, divine or human, in the manner of his choosing. Secondly, if you know someone who is under it, pray and ask the Lord how you can be his angel to them. Can we stand, please? You know, Randy has he's given a series of talks on what does God love. How many of you know God loves to rescue us? He loves to deliver us when we are under it. Psalm 86:12. Great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Now, when David wrote this, he was definitely feeling under it. But what did he declare? God, great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. You delivered me when I was really feeling under it. So I want us to pray, but first I want us to make the same declaration. Can we do that this morning? Just declare this in faith for your life or for the person that you are praying for or that you know who is really feeling under it. So together, let's say, great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. In Yeshua's name. So, Father, we just stand in your presence, Lord, right now. And what I know that some of us this morning are really feeling quite under it. That life has thrown multiple curveballs our way, and the road just seems to be getting bumpier and bumpier, and there's just thing after thing, stuff after stuff, crisis after crisis, difficulty after difficulty. But here we are, God, this morning. Like Elijah, Lord, we just trust you and thank you that your love is great towards me, and you will deliver me from the depths of the grave. You will deliver me from being under it. You will empower me not to give up, but to get up. So, Lord, if I need to find my cave this morning, help me find my cave that I can hear your voice. Help me find you in that quiet place. God, help me know this morning that I am not alone, that you are with me. And you have an Elisha for me to be by my side, whether it's my spouse or someone else, to encourage me, to support me, to be with me in this time. And Lord, thank you that I also can be your angel, your messenger to someone else. So right now, if there's someone you want to bring to my mind who is really feeling under it, what I just say right now, that I want to be an angel. I want to be your messenger to them. Now just take a moment just to, wherever you are this morning, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're going through, however you feel that you are under it, whatever that is, just talk to the Lord for a moment. Just tell him how you feel. He knows how you feel. He knows what's going on, but it's important that you talk to him and tell him. Because he wants to, just as he came to Elijah, he wants to come to you. Just take a moment. So God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you that you deliver us from the depths of the grave. Thank you that you send your angel to us, your messenger. Thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to us. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do, all that you can be in our lives. And God, I just finally just ask that for any of us here who still need to know the one who came to ultimately now and in eternity deliver us from the grave, from the pit, your Son, Yeshua, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that everyone here this morning would come to know how great is his love towards us, towards you. Lord Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, you so loved the world that you gave your own life, that we would not perish, but have everlasting life, that we might have victory in this life, in life eternal in the world to come. So I just pray this morning that all of us, everyone here, would come to know you and how great your love is. And Father, we all ask this in your Son, Jesus, Yeshua's name. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.